Welcome to the Beginner Guitar Academy podcast, a podcast where we provide tips and tricks to take the confusion out of learning to play guitar. Beginner Guitar Academy is a fast-growing online guitar school taking you from complete beginner to well-rounded guitarist. So are you ready for your next guitar lesson?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Here's your host, Amazon best-selling author of the book Learn to Play Electric Guitar, Paul Andrews.
Hello and welcome to episode 250 of the Beginner Guitar Academy podcast. Now, before we dive into today's topic, I just want to take a moment to say a massive thank you. Reaching 250 episodes is a big milestone, and I couldn't have done it without you guys. The listeners who tune in each week, send in questions, share the podcast to other guitar players. Your support really means the world, and it helps keep the show going. So, thank you. Now, this week's episode, we're kicking off a brand new two-part series on 10 albums every guitar player should listen to. So today we're going to cover the first five albums, looking at their history, the impact they've had on guitar music, and what we as players can learn from them. Then next week, we'll dive into the remaining five. And for all my Beginner Guitar Academy members, just a quick update. I've just added the audio and the video from last week's live member Q&A to the Academy. So if you couldn't make it live, you can catch up on all the questions and my answers at your own pace. And you'll find the video in the live recording section. You'll see a link there just on the dashboard as you log in. And the audio is in the member-only podcast. So if you subscribe to that, that should be coming up in your feed very shortly. All right, so now that's out of the way, let's dive straight in. So, 10 albums every guitar player should listen to. So, album number one, Are You Experienced by Jimi Hendrix, released in 1967. So, when this album dropped in 1967, it changed electric guitar forever. Hendrix wasn't just playing guitar, he was redefining what the instrument could do. Feedback, distortion, the whammy bar, the wah pedal. He turned all these into musical tools. Songs like Purple Haze, Foxy Lady, exploded with sounds that nobody had heard before. And remember, this was the late 60s, so most guitarists were still sticking fairly to clean tones, maybe a bit of overdrive. Hendrix opened the door, or more like kicked down the door, to psychedelic rock, heavy blues, and eventually metal. It's easy to kind of forget the influence he had. Obviously now, doing this episode in 2025, so many years after that, but he had a massive impact. So he proved that guitar could be a voice of pure creativity, not just a rhythm or solo tool. He inspired generations from Steve Ray Vaughan to Prince to John Mayer, and continue to push the boundaries of tone. So I suppose the key sort of guitar lessons or takeaways we can get from him is don't be afraid to experiment. So play with effects, try unconventional chord shape, and use the guitar as a sound machine. Tone isn't just about gear, it's about creativity. And I think Hendrix is a great exponent of that. I say this all the time, students, if you're trying to learn a Hendrix song, you can't learn it just off sheet music. You've got to listen to it, listen to his nuances, listen to his attack, listen to how he plays the strings and his intensity. Those things do not translate. And that's what I mean by creativity expression that comes across in Hendrix's playing. So to demonstrate Hendrix, I am going to play the Jimi Hendrix Experience, Purple Haze. And this is taken live at the Atlanta Pop Festival. So album number two of the five we're going through today that every beginner should listen to is Led Zeppelin 4. Now, this was released in 1971, and this album gave us Stairway to Heaven, one of the most famous guitar songs ever written. But the whole record is basically a guitar masterclass. So Jimmy Page blended heavy riffs such as Black Dog, Rock and Roll, with delicate acoustic textures, Going to California, a prime example of that, and even folky and kind of mystical vibes. So the mix of acoustic and electric guitar showed just how versatile the guitar can be. Now, the last impact of this record, it helped define hard rock, while also highlighting the importance of dynamics, soft and heavy and electric and acoustic tones, all living together in one record. Influenced everything from metal bands like Metallica to acoustic rock acts like Mumford & Sons. So the key guitar lesson here is dynamics matter. So if you only ever play at one volume, loud and distorted, it gets boring. So learn to switch between acoustic and electric, clean and dirty tones, soft and aggressive playing style. That contrast is what's going to make your riffs and solos really pop. And you can do this from a very beginner stage. Now you're thinking, well, hold on, I'm no Jimmy Page. This isn't relevant for me. It really is. So I do this with students very early on their playing. If we're strumming a song, you know, it could be a simple 2-3-4 chord track. Just trying to play a little bit quieter on your verses and then get a little bit louder on your choruses. And if you start an improvisation, experimenting dynamics can really help convey emotion. So these ideas are definitely things you can try at any level in your guitar playing journey. So now with Led Zeppelin, a song I'm going to play for you is Black Dog. And this is live at Madison Square Garden in 1970.
Can't keep our way. Got a flaming heart, can't get my fit. I'll shine burning red, dreams of you all through my head. Gonna be a star. Now, I don't know, but I've been told a big leg woman ain't got no soul. Make me a happy man. Ah, ah.
So album number three is Rumours by Fleetwood Mac, released in 1977. Now, this is something a little bit smoother than Hendrix and Jimmy Page rocking and really playing their guitar loud and heavy. Rumours is one of the best-selling albums of all time, and while it's not a Guitar Hero album per se, the guitar work is incredibly tasteful, and Lindsey Buckingham, his playing is all about supporting the songs, you know, weaving in subtle leads and acoustic textures and the rhythm parts that never really overpower the vocals, which in itself is a massive skill as a guitar player. And you'll know, as a guitarist, when you have a guitar in your hands, you want to whittle, you want to play it. And I remember in a band I was in ages ago, we always had this problem. We always just get told off because as guitar players in like band practice, we would just be constantly playing, you know, we couldn't keep our hands off the guitar. So it's quite a skill not to do that, to be restrained, especially when you've got, you know, awesome vocalists. You don't want to overshadow those, especially when you're an amazing guitar player like Lindsey Buckingham is. So it's just a fantastic album. You know, it's got amazing songs in it. Go Your Own Way is fantastic. One of rock's kind of most underrated guitar solos. It's short, it's melodic. It basically perfectly services that song. And that's what we want from a guitar solo. Now, the impact, this album showed that guitar doesn't always have to be flashy to be powerful. Sometimes the best guitar playing is the kind that you don't even notice at first because it fits so seamlessly into the track. It's easy to miss it, but when you start picking it out, you go, oh, wow, there's actually some really nice lines there. It's really tasteful what's going on. And I suppose the key then guitar lesson here is serve the song. So as guitarists, as I said earlier, it's tempting to play loud. It's tempting to play fast with all the effects. But your number one job is to make the song better. Taste and restraint are skills just as important as shredding and moving your fingers quick and blitzing around the guitar neck. So that is a massive takeaway, again, from any level player or for any level player, complete beginner to advanced. This could be just you playing along with a song or, again, improvising. You don't have to play a 7-minute guitar solo. You can just serve the song, and that is a really important skill to master. So to demonstrate Fleetwood Mac, we can listen to Go Your Own Way. So check it out. Isn't the right thing to do? How can I ever change things that I feel? If I could, maybe I'd give you my world. How can I, when you won't take it from me? You can go your own way. So album number four that you should listen to is Texas Flood by Stevie Ray Vaughan, released in 1983. If Hendrix opened the door to wild creativity, Stevie Ray Vaughan reminded everyone just how powerful the blues could be. So Texas Flood was his debut album, and it instantly made him a legend. So listen to it. It's one of those sort of debut albums you think, this guy is like fully formed. He knows what he wants to say, and he is saying it on this record. Whereas, listen to some albums of bands, and it takes a few albums to kind of get in their groove, and you can really hear those that developing, or them developing into what they could be or should be. Stevie Ray Vaughan is always what he could or should be. Just from, you know, putting on his boots and his hat, he's straight away what he is, and it's fully formed. To say it's just an amazing album. His tone was raw, his phrasing was emotional, and his playing was full of fire. Songs like Pride and Joy are still considered essential blues tracks, and his version of Texas Flood is practically a masterclass in slow blues soloing. We talked about it a few episodes ago when we were talking about slow blues. And then the impact of this album, it reignited mainstream interest in blues. You know, it was kind of dead at that time. Pop was taken over, new wave was dominating the charts. Stevie Ray Vaughan inspired a whole generation of players to pick up a strap and dive into this dusty old style of music, which is known as the blues. So our key guitar lesson here is feel is everything. You can learn the minor pentatonic scale in 5 minutes, but it takes years to play it with Stevie Ray Vaughan's passion. Focus on bending in tune, controlling your vibrato, and letting each note breathe. And I was having this discussion, funny enough, with a class we're doing improvisation just the other week. And we got the scale down. And then we just talked about feel. And okay, so I'm playing the same 5 notes as Stevie Ray Vaughan, or your Hendrix, or your Jimmy Page, you know, all the people we're talking about in this episode, really, are pentatonic players. But it's not sounding like them. And why it's not sounding like them is because of their phrasing and making it emotional and getting that across. And that takes time. And a great way of doing that is listening to the artist and really trying to absorb how they are playing. And with that in mind, we're going to do that right now. We're going to take a listen to Stevie Ray Vaughan playing Pride and Joy. And this is live at the Montreal Festival in 1982. And just a little bit of trivia for you. This was the festival where they got booed because they came on. It was quite an acoustic-y or jazzy night. They came on, also, you know, raised the roof off the place, so you can hear some people booing in the crowd. But someone else was in this crowd, and in that crowd was David Bowie. And then David Bowie got Stevie Vaughan to play on Let's Dance, and then wanted him to go on his world tour. He didn't go on the world tour. He recorded Texas Flood, and as they say, the rest is history. So enjoy Stevie Vaughan and Double Trouble, Pride and Joy.
the tail end of time. She's my sweet little thing. She's my pride and joy. She's my sweet little baby. I'm my little lover boy.
Okay, so album number 5 is Nevermind by Nirvana, released in 1991. Now, I was a bit doubtful whether to include this one, to be honest. I was going to substitute for another album because it's Nevermind. It's Nirvana. We know Nirvana. We know Nevermind. You probably listen to it a million times if you're my age, you know, when you're at college in the 90s and stuff. But this album is fantastic. And for an album that's inspired guitar players, I have like 9, 10, 11 year olds I teach that want to learn Smells Like Teen Spirit that come in with their Nirvana t-shirts. This still holds a lot of weight and a lot of value. And just as a beginner guitar player, you know, if you listen to this, you've not listened to that album much, it's just a treasure trove of awesome songs, you know, simple power chords. But oh man, the way Kurt Cobain plays them, they do not sound simple, they sound awesome. So it's a really fantastic album. That's why I wanted to obviously put it in here with our kind of mix of ones you should listen to. So but you know, by the early 90s, guitar music was at a crossroads. You know, hair metal had gotten over the top a bit too flamboyant, and then along came Nirvana with this album Nevermind, and suddenly music was raw, simple, and full of angst. Kurt Cobain wasn't a technical player, we know that, but that was the point. You know, he uses these simple chords, you know, power chords, he uses dissonance, he uses his aggressive strumming technique, which then spoke to an entire frustrated generation. You know, Smells Like Teen Spirit alone is one of the most famous riffs of all time and is basically just 4 power chords. So the impact, we've just kind of gone through there, you know, Nevermind made guitar accessible again. It showed beginners that you don't need 10-minute solos or complex jazz chords to write songs that matter. Sometimes raw emotion and simplicity are more powerful. So the key guitar lesson here: don't underestimate simplicity. You know, power chords, basic rhythms, and raw energy can be just as effective as advanced techniques. Focus on playing with conviction. So if you just started with a guitar, just grab a few chords, play around, have some fun with it. That's kind of the key takeaways here. You know, some of the most famous songs are just 2 or 3 chords. You know, it doesn't have to be anything, you know, crazy. So let's take a listen to Nirvana, and we're going to listen to Smells Like Teen Spirit live in Reading from 1992.
We'll be right back.
And that wraps up episode 250 of the Beginner Guitar Academy podcast. So just want to say again how grateful I am to each and every one of you listening. Hitting 250 episodes is a huge milestone, and it simply wouldn't have been possible without your support. So whether you've been here since episode one or this is your very first time tuning in, thank you for being part of the journey. So for Beginner Guitar Academy members, don't forget to catch up on last week's live Q&A. The full video and audio are waiting for you inside the Academy. And if you're not yet a member, but you'd like a structured way to learn guitar, plus access to all our live trainings, song tutorials, and a community of fellow awesome guitar players, then you come and join Beginner Guitar Academy for a $1 14-day trial and see what it's all about. Just head over to beginnerguitaracademy.com and look forward to welcoming you into the Academy. So next week, guys, we're going to continue our look at the 10 albums every guitarist should listen to with five more classics. So be sure to tune in next week for that. Thanks for going to help us to reach 250 episodes, and here's to the next 250. So until next time, keep practicing, and I'll chat to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Guitar Academy podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For more information, updates, or to start your membership today, please visit us at www.beginnerguitaracademy.com. Until next time, take care.